Catherine Robertson, hello.
Hello.
So first of all, thank you. I'm getting a lot out of a swim in a pond in the rain.
Oh, good. Good. It's wonderful. I'm recommending it to everybody, even people who aren't writers. It's fabulous.
Yeah, I had a... We had a good chat about it last time Catherine was on. It's a book by George Saunders in which he uses some short stories by famous Russian authors to teach you things about writing, looks at the choices they've made with the characters and their language, sort of explains it and thereby helps your own writing. I'm just partway through quite a long short story at the moment. It's a good one, but it's 51 pages, which is pushing it, Catherine.
Sorry about that.
It's the one about the guys whole... going off in a horse-drawn cart in the snowstorm. Yeah. It's pretty. It's. I'm really enjoying it though. I think it might be Tolstoy.
It's Tolstoy, definitely. Yeah. Is that Master and Man? Yes, very good one.
Okay, what are you chatting about this week?
Well, to my surprise, I decided to talk about a self-help book, and even more to my surprise, it's one that's co-authored by Oprah Winfrey.
Wow, Catherine, you've changed.
I have changed. I know. From George Saunders to Oprah Winfrey. But honestly, this is one of the most amazing books that I've read in a long time. And I'm not an avid consumer of self-help books. I've read a few. But mainly I find them sort of not actually that helpful, if you know what I mean. But my son put me onto a book called What Happened to You? And its subtitle is Conversations on Trauma, Resilience and Healing. And it came out in April this year. And it's written primarily as a conversation, like the audio book is the actual conversation, and it's really good. I recommend that. But it's between Dr. Bruce Perry. He's an American. He's a renowned psychologist who specializes in childhood trauma or helping, you know, traumatized children. And Oprah Winfrey, whose own childhood was pretty darn traumatic, and you get quite a lot of insight into that. And I think they've known each other for a while, but this was an aim to turn the conversation around. When you look at particularly children or even adults with troubling behaviour, our first, you know, thought is, oh, what's wrong with you? And in this book, they really want to change that conversation around from what's wrong with you to what happened to you. Because understanding what happened to us as children, particularly children if we've had traumatic experiences, understanding that is the first sort of step towards putting together a plan for enabling sort of healing and learning, etc., you know, and just understanding what's going on. I really liked the way that it took that lens on this particular problem. And like Bruce Perry was, he worked with the child survivors of Waco, the Waco siege. He also worked with some of the children from those terrible Romanian orphanages. So he is a man who knows what he is about. What I really liked about this book is that, it is a conversation, which does help because Oprah's, you know, she's super smart and her upbringing is incredibly relevant to this book.
Yeah.
There's absolutely heaps in this book. I can't even begin to sort of cover everything that's in it. But the one thing that really stuck with me, and it's actually, you know, here you have those sort of aha moments where you go, okay, this makes a lot of sense now, is Bruce Perry developed this model for how the brain works. He calls it a neurosequential model, and it has been adopted in quite a few places around the world. So what he does is he sort of gets you to picture the brain as having four layers. So the bottom layer is the most basic, that's the brain stem, and then it goes up in terms of sophistication, if you like, to the cortex. The fourth layer where we do our actual thinking and rationalizing, etc. But the interesting thing is, like, what basically happens is that all our sensory info about the external world comes via the brainstem first and filters up to the cortex. And traumatic experiences actually shape the brainstem to be, and this lower part of the brain to be, extra sensitive. And if something reminds it of the previous traumatic experiences, it triggers a stress reaction because that part of the brain can't distinguish time periods. So, this thing is not actually happening to you now, that lower part of your brain actually is happening to
that
you.
That makes so much sense.
It's amazing, isn't
and
it?
Changes the way you think about post-trauma.
Well, post-traumatic stress. And the thing is, we can have what they point out in this book, which is kind of like the downside of it is a lot of things can happen to us in childhood. We make a lot of meaning in childhood. Things happen, you know, people don't even have to be particularly abusive to us, but we can make meaning out of things that actually shape the way our brain continues to think, you know, brain continues to work. And the thing is, when we have these stress reactions, you know, when we feel our heart going, we have that fight or flight or the sort of, you know, freeze reaction, you know, that information does get up to our cortex. But by the time it gets there, past that stress reaction, our ability, our IQ, our functional IQ has actually gone down. So we don't, in moments of those stress, we don't think as clearly as we would if we were calm and regulated, as he calls it.
And our functional IQ is reduced.
Our functional IQ is reduced, and there's an amazing chart which shows you if you go through the stages of just being, when you're calm, it's, you know, working 100%. And then as you go through sort of, you know, upset and alarm and fear and to pure out terror, I mean, you drop by about 40 IQ points. So, you know, it's a wonder where people say when somebody, you know, somebody's traumatized and they just kind of curl up into a ball. Well, that's because you actually can't think about it at all. You can't rationalize. You're just protecting yourself against what you perceive to be inevitable, you know, injury or pain.
Mm.
I know.
Man, oh man. It feels like something that everyone should know, hey?
Well, I felt like, so instantly I sort of realized that, you know, A, there are things in our childhood that are causing, I mean, when you think about phobias, I mean, I'm not going to suggest that's not in the book, you know, but when you think about things that push our buttons, it's probably due to something that happened way back when before we were even aware of it. I mean, war causes PTSD in soldiers, and they're aware of it, and they're probably in their 20s. But their brain is pretty much fully formed by then. Imagine the impact of something traumatic on a baby brain or a child brain.
Mm.
It's going to be so much more long-lasting and significant.
Yeah, yeah.
The upside of the book is that it's never too late to understand and to heal. You know, we can change.
How do you ever heal that, though?
Well, you understand it, first of all. And then you learn strategies for, he has this really great sort of little mantra, which is regulate, relate, and reason. So, you know, how nobody in the world has ever calmed down when being told to calm down. It's because we don't. We're up in that stress reaction sort of, you know, phase. And we need to be able to be calm. And nobody's going to be able to tell you something or relate to you before you get calm. And he has some really good strategies for calming yourself, calming others. And then you can be with them, you know, you can do the empathy, et cetera. And then you can start to reason. Then you can have a conversation about it. And it's just such a, you know, simple in principle, hard to do. But, like, he's really into wanting the police to be trained on trauma. I mean, of course, it's really important in education when you've got kids who are behaving, you know, what would we perceive to be badly in class, to understand this way of, you know, relating to them, I guess, or addressing those behavioural issues. But he talks about this little girl who was so badly abused, and she was 7 years old, and the teachers were trying to tell her why these behaviours that she was, you know, carrying out were bad. But he said, well, she was 7 years old in age, but she was about 2 in emotional development and about 3.5 in mental development. So, you know, trying to talk to her at this particular age, it wasn't working. And he had to go right back to just kind of calming her down, which can take weeks and months, and then getting to the next stage. And she did grow up to be a happy, healthy, productive adult. So I'm just going to add those good new things in there.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
You also learned something from the book about implicit biases.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's like a really interesting, because they had a good conversation about, like, part of the things that we make meaning about is, like, we learn things. We learn a lot of things. We make meaning ourselves, but a lot of messages come in from friends, family, society, etc. And the lower part of the brain is where implicit biases reside. So we're not really conscious of them. So, for instance, like, if people feel, you know, and this is an old primitive sort of response, if you like, because we feel most comfortable and most safe with people who are most like us. Kind of makes sense. So we need positive experiences with people of other cultures before we start to feel safe with people of those cultures,
yeah,
before we find them non-threatening. So if we've never had those experiences, and the media and our family have always kind of given us kind of negative messages about it, then our implicit bias will form will be negative. And so, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm not racist, but the implicit bias is coming up with negative opinions about people of another culture. And we're not overtly racist until we have turned that into a fully formed belief before that is kind of in our cortex level and we genuinely believe and can rationalise to ourselves that some races are, you know, superior to others. So I think, you know, it's like when our buttons get pushed, because this happens all the time, doesn't it, you know, and you just have to go on Twitter for like 3 seconds and you've got a button pushed. And it's like, so we should stop and think about it. And think about what is in, you know, what have we learned? What is making that emotional reaction?
And so that's some pretty
make that pause. Yeah.
Some pretty strong science behind something which we've
yes.
sort of learned in the last few years. You think about gay rights, for example.
Yes, exactly.
You become much less suspicious, fearful, judgmental of gay people when you make friends with a gay couple.
Of course. And when you know more, and when there are more positive, you know, messages in the media, when, you know, coverage is not about them doing terrible things, etc. And so, of course, you know, you end up getting positive reinforcement, and that learns, you know, that changes our implicit biases from negative to positive. And yes, there's a huge amount of sort of science in here as well. He's a very smart and a very kind and compassionate man.
Love it. The book is called What Happened to You? Conversations on Trauma, Resilience and Healing. And Catherine Robertson has been enjoying it. Plenty more to the book, I'm sure, as well, Catherine.
So much more. But honestly, if you're going to read one self-help book in your life, read this one.
Catherine has a bookstore called Good Books in Wellington. Nice to chat to you.
Nice to chat.